The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Austin York, and welcome to the afternoon All Local.
Let's start off in Chicago. This is not the Democratic convention that anyone was expecting earlier this summer. Today, in Chicago, Democrats from around the country are going to gather to nominate not Joe Biden, but Kamala Harris to be their presidential nominee after the president dropped out of the race a few weeks ago. KCBS reporter Doug Sauver. Now, we heard from Doug extensively during the Republican convention a few weeks ago in Milwaukee, and he joins us now from the city of Big Shoulders. Doug, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, that was a pretty good Tom Snyder laugh. That was well done. You guys are dating yourself.
We really are, right?
But yeah, we're here at the DNC, which, as you say, is not the one we expected a month ago. We thought maybe it would be like an Irish wake, and now it's more like a carnival. But yeah, instead of Joe Biden doing a victory acceptance, he's handing off the baton to Kamala Harris and sort of beginning a victory lap, I guess, or a farewell lap. It could be kind of poignant tonight when we hear from him.
I would expect a lot of emotion on display tonight, perhaps from the president, definitely from the delegates who will be in attendance as Joe Biden gets things started. What are we expecting?
Yeah, especially when you remember that these were his delegates. I mean, these are people who signed on and ran and got chosen to be delegates for Joe Biden and for Kamala Harris as the running mate. But now they're Kamala Harris delegates, and for some that's better, and for some it's not. And they obviously like her very, very much. But there's going to be, some tears, I'm sure, tonight as he endorses Harris and says what he's going to say. And, you know, he's got a few more months as president, so he's not saying goodbye just yet. But I'm sure it's going to be an emotional evening. We'll also hear, of course, from Hillary Clinton, from Jill Biden. We don't actually know who else is on the agenda tonight. They haven't released the final speaker list, but those are the big names we're expecting. And the delegates, I've just come out of the California delegation breakfast, just spoke with Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi. They're all revved up and ready to go. They're really excited about this, and they know that they're going to make history this week as they nominate a woman for just the second time and the first woman of color.
A lot of times the person at the top of the ticket doesn't show up until the convention has already started. Will that be the case here? Is Kamala going to be there tonight for Joe Biden's speech?
She will be. And yeah, it's true. Tradition always was that you don't. Maybe you come out and after the roll call, you wave and that's about it. And you come back, give your acceptance on Thursday. But that's been turned on its head. Donald Trump, we've seen, comes out every night at the convention. I didn't expect Kamala Harris to do that because Democrats typically don't, but she will. She's going to be in the House tonight at 9:45, they're telling us, Central Time. So the thing's going to run later than we thought, maybe. She'll be in the House with her husband to watch Joe Biden give that speech and, figuratively pass the baton to her. So she'll be there, and we actually do expect her now to attend every day, as Trump did.
You know, you mentioned it to start this whole thing out a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago. We were thinking this is going to be a real rough convention, but everything seems to be hunky-dory right now. What's the mood so far?
Yeah, hunky-dory, but the wild card is the protests, right? We don't know what those are going to be. There's supposed to be thousands of people, many of them pro-Palestinian demonstrators, some of them vowing to be disruptive. They want to hold some sway here and pull Kamala Harris to their point of view on the Middle East. We don't know, if they're going to stay in the prescribed area, if they're going to try to crash the convention. We'll have to see how that goes. But apart from that wild card, the mood is extremely upbeat and positive. They're energized. They're excited. They're seeing the poll numbers, the fundraising, the volunteering, black women, young voters, all far more enthusiastic than they were a month ago. So they're feeling pretty good here. Now, the Republicans were feeling pretty good a month ago. They were incredibly optimistic at their convention. Now the tables are turned and these folks are feeling good. But everybody knows that, you look at the polling, it's a toss-up. It's going to come down to ground game. It's going to come down to turnout. This thing could really still go either way. And with 78, 79 days to go, look at the last 50-something days of Brunt. You never know right. What could still happen.
So the Democrats, they've got the momentum right now. What do they need to do at this convention then? Just basically not shoot themselves in the foot?
Well, they have to hope the protests don't leave some sort of stain on the proceedings. And then beyond that, they need to, I was looking at the CBS poll that came out yesterday. 36% of voters still don't really know much about Kamala Harris or what she stands for. Obviously, 90% of people know what Donald Trump is and what he stands for. So that means she's undefined for a third of the electorate still wanting to find out more about her. So if they tune in and see people extolling her virtues and see her give a speech herself, they've got to make a really strong case for her and against Trump and define her. Trump hasn't really been able to define her negatively yet, try as he might. So this is a real opportunity for them to sell her, if you will, to the American people and make the case that she can be the president of the United States. And, of course, the debates will go a long way to that, too. That'll be a pivotal moment, the next one. But that's really their job here this week, is to present the kind of unity that the Republicans did, but this time all around Kamala Harris.
Doug, can't thank you enough. That is Doug Sovereign. He's in Chicago. He's in Milwaukee last week. Milwaukee and then Chicago.
This is my kind of town, Chicago.
The 13th time that Chicago has hosted the DNC.
Richard Daley country for years, and wasn't he a big Democrat?
Hey, very big. And his son, he and his son both were mayor in Chicago for 20 years. But this goes back to 1864, 13th time, and it all starts today. The keynote speaker tonight is the man who was at the top of the ticket up until just a few weeks ago, President Biden. He will speak tonight and urge his party to unite behind Vice President Kamala Harris. There's a whole lot going on in Chicagoland. Right now, let's bring in News Nation reporter Kelly Meyer and find out more. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. So right now, you could probably hear behind me the mic checks happening for the DNC. This is just the first day. But at the stage right now, I'm looking at Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff coming out and talking about his life, doing a couple mic checks. So they are in town. So it's kind of fun to see this behind the scenes before everybody kind of comes in and the night kicks off.
And the president will be behind that mic tonight. What do delegates at this convention want to see from him tonight?
Yeah, I mean, this is so interesting because it's a very different speech than the one he was planning to give just 4 weeks ago when he actually passed the torch to Harris. He dropped out of the race, endorsed her. So he kind of had to switch gears into making the speech more about touting the accomplishments of the Biden-Harris administration, making the case that she is the best one to go forward and continue building on that progress, but also kind of hitting a note of appreciation. There's going to be some people in this room that were actively pushing for him to get out of this race. Remember, at the time before he dropped out, there were several Democrats that were coming forward saying that he needed to drop out. So he's going to be speaking to a room of a lot of them. And even last night when reporters asked if he has spoken to former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, he said he didn't answer that question. She will also be here. So it's interesting to see. And tonight, you're also hearing from former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, who was the first, you know, female Democratic nominee, kind of broke through that barrier. But it seems like tonight is the Democratic Party of past in a way, and then you're kind of going with the rest of the week with looking forward, and that seems as though the way the party is trying to frame it.
If there is any lingering bitterness or sadness on his part, I suppose it's important for the party that he not show that tonight, correct?
Yeah, and just kind of, you know, I think it sounds as though he's really trying to focus, and at least what we're hearing from some of the surrogates and officials that were talking this morning, that he's really going to focus on those accomplishments, that he is going to kind of really just rev up the audience in that sense, really talk about what they have done. And I don't think he will come out here and be bitter. He's no stranger to this stage. He's been out here since, I think, 1980 was his first speech at a convention. So he knows what he is doing out here. He knows what he has to say. And then he's ready to take off after that, and he heads on vacation. He heads to California tonight, and he's on vacation through Sunday. So he's kind of just, you know, leaving this behind. But we know Harris is going to be here in the room as a kind of sign of respect and a thank you. We expect more cheers and chants of thank you, Joe. That's what we were hearing when he came out on the road with Harris for the first time since Trump dropping out of the race in Maryland on Thursday, and we heard plenty of chants of that and a long-winded chant of it, and he seemed very appreciative of that.
We've been hearing about these planned protests. Have you seen any evidence of that, and what are we seeing or hearing so far?
We absolutely have seen evidence of that. We have a crew outside of the United Center. But in terms of what we see as I come into the United Center and cover it inside, you know, there's a secure perimeter, there's barricades, there's security. So they are keeping the protests away as far as they can from the center itself. But they are happening in downtown Chicago and elsewhere, and they are expected to continue through the week. But that's something that the city of Chicago says they've been prepping for, they are ready for, and they're trying to keep things as calm as possible going into this week.
How big a perimeter is this in Chicago, Kelly? Is it one, two, three blocks? Yeah. More than that?
I would say it's definitely a couple. I don't know exactly the measurements. I feel like it's definitely a couple blocks. I had to for example, get out of my Uber today a couple blocks away and then walk to the area where they kind of do one check and then they take you up and do another check and then you go through security and kind of like you're going to an airport, getting on the plane, and then you get through. And then there's between that series and series of actual lines of barricades and not just waist high above, you know, several feet high. Right. I'm only 5'2", so everything is big to me, but it's it definitely is a very secure area that you feel definitely a lot of, and especially a lot of police presence everywhere you look as well. That was something I noticed, that there are several law enforcement officials walking everywhere at every turn.
And what do you think we can expect from Donald Trump as this week plays out? I don't imagine he's going to stay silent.
Right. So he's going to be planning this kind of counter programming to the DNC. He is hitting the road. He's going to be campaigning. He's going to try to get people's eyes on him as much as possible and away from the DNC as much as he can. And that's something that's interesting because in years past for conventions, generally the other candidate, the challenger, kind of sat back and let them have their week for the DNC. And then the Democratic candidate let the Republican candidate have their week for the RNC. And that kind of shifted, I think, with actually Obama. And then obviously then with Trump, it shifted as well. So now we're seeing many of the candidates in this campaigns really just go out there and campaign when the other one is having their convention. So we are expecting to see Trump, J.D. Vance on the road and really kind of doing this counter programming to the DNC.
Kelly, thank you so much. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again as the week moves along there in Chicago at the Democratic National Convention. That is News Nation Washington correspondent Kelly Meyer, all 5'2" of her.
Teenager faces some serious charges after a wreck kills five people in Fort Worth, including two kids.
Police say Eduardo Gonzalez of Fort Worth has been booked on five charges of intoxication manslaughter. They say around 12:30 this morning, he was behind the wheel of a Camaro that was driving along the South Freeway near the seminary exit when he slammed into another car. That car caught fire, killing everyone inside. Erica Lynn is with the National Office of Mothers Against Drunk Driving. She lost her own parents to a drunk driver.
There's one thing you could never, ever reconcile, that these people who have been victims, who have been murdered, who have been seriously injured, especially the victims that have been murdered, we know they should still be with us.
So far, the Tarrant County Medical Examiner has not released the names of the victims. From the 24-Hour News Center, LP Phillips News, Radio 1080 KRLD.
And, of course, the other big story today, everybody's talking about it, the heat. Extremely hot this weekend in North Texas yesterday. The hottest day of the year at 104, and we've already beat that today. It's a miserable, dangerous 106 degrees at DFW Airport. We are under an excessive heat warning in North Texas until 9 o'clock tonight. I don't know about you. I went walking on the Katy Trail last night with my dog, and it was 99 degrees at 8:45 in the evening.
That's summer in North Texas.
As the heat continues, nonprofits are trying to protect people who have nowhere else to go.
Our calling seen 40% more people come to its shelter in Dallas over the past week.
We're fairly large. We, of course, will make room for people who are in need of a safe place to be.
Allie Hendrickson says they're also loading trucks with water and cooling wraps to reach people too far away to reach them.
There are thousands of homeless friends who are miles away from us who just cannot make it to our facility, especially exerting all of that energy in this heat to just try and get to our calling is probably impossible and really scary.
She says their greatest need now is bottled water. From the 24-Hour News Center, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
This heat is also having an effect on the Tarrant Area Food Bank. They had planned mobile food distribution in Denton, but it's canceled because of the heat. They're going to get back to that on September 3rd for its regular Tuesday distribution.
And, of course, these conditions across the state have prompted the Texas A&M Forest Service to increase the chance of brush fires to a level 3. Just over the past week, 64 wildfires have burned over 10,000 acres. Several counties have issued burn bans over the past week, including Rockwall and Johnson County.
As we take a look at the heat and the grid right now, there's a lot of worries always about how much power we're using up in these hot conditions. And right now, ERCOT is reporting we've used up or we're in demand about 84,363 megawatts, but they have plenty of capacity. So everything is green so far as demand goes. As we get towards later in the evening, it'll be a bit of a closer call as the sun goes down and the wind kind of breaks down.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.